Well, welcome everyone. It's the first Friday of the month again, the month of August, and I'm really excited to be here with the Global Water Healing Meditation. It's been over 4 years now that we do this, and it happens every first Friday of the month at noon Eastern Time. So it's really an opportunity to bring our energy together and enhance our daily practice of sending healing love and energy to the waters of our planet. And I'm very excited. We have Muriel Lindsay here today. She's going to be leading the meditation. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Muriel in a few minutes, but I would like to take just a few minutes up front here to address an issue that's happening in the San Juan Islands in Washington State. So I think most of you know that this water healing meditation was started at the request of my orca friend, Granny. And Granny was the leader of J-Pod, and she has since passed into spirit. And she's still very available, so anybody that wants to chat with her, you just go ahead and call her up. But the pod and the resident orcas in the San Juan Islands are not doing well, and they really have just been slipping in the last couple years. They've not had a successful birth in over 3 years. They've had several whales die, and the population is pretty low right now. It's in the low 70s. And 9 days ago, a J-pod whale, a female, gave birth to a calf, which was either stillborn or died in the first half hour. And she has been carrying this calf on her head and in her mouth for 9 days now. And it's just beyond anything that we've ever seen with these whales. You know, they lose a lot of calves, but we've never seen this. And I did take some time yesterday to check in with her. Her name is Talaqua, or J35. And she definitely has a lot of grief, a huge amount of grief. But what she's doing is more making a statement to the world about the serious state that these whales are in and how much help they need. And it's a complicated issue. There's a lot of things at play, but food is the main thing. There's also a four-year-old female calf that they think is starving, and she's going to probably leave in the next few months. She's in really poor condition. So these whales feed primarily on Chinook salmon, and there's not enough of them around, and a lot of those Chinook rivers have been dammed, and, you know, it's, as I said, it's a complicated issue. But I know that I talked to Granny about it, and she said, you know, just keep sending love. Keep sending love and healing energy to the pod, to the whales, to the area. So before I introduce Muriel and we see what wonderful things she's prepared for us today, I just want us to take a few minutes here to close our eyes and to picture the orcas of the San Juan Islands. Let's put all 73 of them in there. But if you've seen these pictures of J35 carrying that calf on her head, try and bring that picture up. And as a group, let's put them in the center of our circle. Let's create a circle of all of us on the call with the whales in the middle. And let's all hold hands, create a firm connection, a ring of energy, and just allow your heart to open and just let love and healing energy pour out of your heart. to the whales, to the orcas. And as all this loving heart energy goes to the whales, you can see sort of a glow, like a golden glow, surrounding these whales now in the middle, almost like a dome of protection, of healing light. Let's continue to fill that dome with this golden light of love and healing and care. As we do this, let's see them well. Let's see them all fat and happy and catching tons and tons of fatty salmon. They're feeding easily. They're moving together. They have so much energy from so much food. They're able to spend their time playing and frolicking and leaping and reproducing. Whenever you can, go back to our circle and re-energize it. Put your healing, loving energy in there for the whales, especially to J35 in her time of grief and mourning. But let's hold that vision of all the resident orcas in the Northwest being fat, happy and healthy and doing well. So be it, and so it is. Thank you, everyone. There's been so many people wanting to do this, and I thought we could do it today. So, we are now going to hear from my friend Muriel Lindsay, who lives on a barrier island off the coast of Georgia with a pod of dolphins that really are her friends and family. And she moved up there about 18 years ago specifically to be with those dolphins and to do sort of participatory research. And gosh darn it, one of these days I'm going to get up there to meet their dolphin friends. I've planned it a couple times and it hasn't happened yet, but it's coming. But before she moved to Tybee, she was a healer and a therapist, a psychotherapist, a teacher, a writer, a photographer, a professional astrologer. And she also did a lot of study in earth knowledge and shamanic influences. So she's authored 3 books, Talking to Hurricanes, Chronicles of the Savannah River Dolphins, The Dolphin Letters, Vital Information from Sea to Land. And she's also had a couple documentaries made about her work with the dolphins by some of the film students at the Savannah College of Art and Design. So you can check out her website, Muriel, M-U-R-I-E-L, Lindsay, LINDSAY.com. There's also a link on the Global Water Healing Meditation website to her website. So welcome, Muriel. You have anything new going on that I didn't mention?
Yeah, actually, 2 things come to mind. One is the follow-up, 33 additional letters from the dolphins to the human race, is all written and ready to be published, and this was the year that that was going to take priority. But, you know, life steps in, and beginning a couple of months ago, it became very clear to me that my 15-year-old dog, Ridley, whom I've had since he was just a pup, was on a downhill slide. And so I have really, really focused on connecting with him in this process, thinking that it was going to end a lot quicker than it did. And as fate would have it, he lasted a lot longer than I thought he was, and he did for a very specific purpose, which I knew nothing about, but he did. And that was that there was a lot he wanted to share with me, and which he did, which is a whole other story, really, about how that happened and the content. But the idea being that I am to get what he shared out in book form, and I'm to do it sooner rather than later, and I'm to do it before I get the next edition of Dolphin Letters out. So I am in the middle of writing that. I write a chapter a day. It's from him. I'm his scribe, and the title is going to be A Soul Contract from a Dog's Point of View, subtitle Ridley's Story.
Wow.
And one thing that's kind of interesting is that back in, I think it was around 2006, Ridley wrote another book. And that book was all about what was happening to the environment as a result of policies from the Bush administration. And I remember at the beginning of that book, I said, you know, I'm just Ridley's scribe and server. And I printed that just for family and friends, so it never came out officially. But what I didn't know was how true that was going to end up being, that I would end up being his scribe. And then I was his server in as much as for the last 3 weeks of his life, there was his body could do nothing, and the only thing there was his consciousness. So I was taking care of his body while he used his consciousness to relay all manner of things to me. So I'm kind of coming out on the other side of the initial tsunami of grief, and I do think the worst is over, but the best has just begun. And so I could say a lot about that, but
yeah.
You did ask, what's up?
Yeah. Wow. So. Well, I know in all my years of, you know, doing animal consulting that very often when your animals leave, they say, oh, this is I'm not leaving. This is just a whole new relationship we're going to have now because I have a lot to teach you from this side. And it sounds like Ridley is well already on his way to doing that and to sending out things that you're going to share with the world, which is fantastic.
It is. I am really excited about it. It was once I realized this is what was going to happen, I felt so good about it, but it was such a and I know that all of you that have been just really, really super bonded with your pets, whatever ilk they are, it's such a split thing of loving them so much and loving their body and then letting the body go and then the consciousness comes in this whole new way, which is so wonderful, and letting the body go is so traumatic and so it's a real admixture,
yeah.
But I'm at the point now where I'm just full of so much amazement and appreciation for what this process is. So onward and upward.
Fantastic. Well, what have you got for us today, Muriel?
Well, today what I came up with is a little different. To begin with, this is my mom's birthday today, and she's not in body anymore. If she were, she would actually be 113 years old. But I wanted to do this meditation in memory of and in honor of her deep love of the Himalayan mountains. So the kind of meditation I'm going to do is a slightly different kind of water meditation because it's going to take place high up in the Himalayas. And we're going high up, and one of the things I wanted to mention here at the beginning is the difference in consciousness, in accessing vibrations in consciousness when you are actually at high elevations. There are things that are more possible and more easily accessed at those high levels. So that's another aspect of this meditation, is to experience the difference in being way up high and being more sea level, having to do with the water meditation. So, having said all that, what I want to ask of you is that everybody get comfortable. Whether you're sitting or laying down, it doesn't matter, but close your eyes. And I want you to feel the gentle pressure of your eyes being closed, nothing uncomfortable. But imagine that you're actually feeling a slight sensation of falling backwards inside your head. As you're doing this, there's going to be a conduit that seems to be forming right around the opening of the crown chakra. So I want you to focus, if you can, on that conduit forming. And you might notice some sensations of slight giddiness or joy. Now, this is subtle, but the more you allow yourself to just feel these inner currents, the more you can ride them. So now I want you to have a sense of your two eyes, which are closed, looking up from within and creating what I like to call a golden triangle by looking up at the third eye area, which is slightly at the eyebrow level, center of the forehead. I want you to do this as a natural thing without any strain. No strain needs to be involved, but just imagine that your physical eyes are actually looking up at your third eye. So as you're doing this, I want you to just enjoy the discovery of these subtle currents that you're beginning to feel. And notice how easy this is and that there's just a flow that happens, a very effortless flow. And just all you're doing is you're just going with this flow. So as you're doing this, your breath begins to change. Sometimes it may seem to lengthen, and sometimes it may even seem to just stop altogether, and it may do all manner of things, but whatever your breath is doing, it's doing without thought or effort. So you are like a bubble floating in space, inner space, and basically you're just enjoying the rhythms that are occurring naturally and are so very, very responsive to your attention. Nothing is required of you. Here within your own being, you are able to completely let go of all thought in effort, and you just seem to get to enjoy the pure pleasure of being. So as this is going on, I want you to notice that a screen drops down and opens before you, not unlike a big screen in a movie theater. And projected onto this screen, you begin seeing scenes and images. These scenes are taking place high up in the mountains, in the Himalayan mountains in particular. You're seeing people, much like yourself, who are climbing up in very, very deep snow, and you're noticing all manner of things about them. You're noticing what they're wearing, the colors, the area that they are climbing, everything in great detail. And then, out of some kind of alchemy, you find that you're both watching them, and next thing you know, you are joining them. So now you also are climbing. One of the things you're noticing is that you are not cold in the least. You're very aware of how strong your circulation is and how that very strength of blood flowing through you, which includes the water in the blood, is giving your limbs strength to do this extremely arduous climb. You're feeling strong and exhilarated and very, very aware, like all of your senses are heightened. One of the things you're aware of is the smell of the fresh snow is just so pure. The water that you have with you for drinking comes actually from this snow, so that when you do stop to drink out of the containers that you're carrying, the water actually is like the best you can ever have remembered tasting ever. A light snow is falling, and yet not so heavy that it keeps you from looking around and just seeing a remarkable vista. You become aware of very subtle things like the snow on your eyelashes. You can feel that. It feels a little bit like gentle kisses. As you're looking around at the range of mountains, there's just no getting around it. It's just a sense of the sublime, unlike anything you felt before. It lifts you up. The mountains are so stately, they're powerful, and yet they do not intimidate you. You love the feeling of your body being involved in climbing higher on these majestic mountains. And you have an awareness of, yes, they are mountains, but you also have an awareness of they are also beings. Some of you will be doing extremely technical climbing and loving it. Others of you might be walking on a high ridge, which is sort of like a backbone of a particular point on the mountain. And you may feel very excited by looking down first to your left and then to your right and seeing how the ridge just falls away on both sides of you. Others of you will choose to go ahead and experience summiting, reaching the highest point and experiencing that incredible sense of accomplishment and awe and arrival, completion of something you set out to do. As you turn and look around in a 360-degree circle, what you see below you are mountains and mountains and mountains as far as the eye can see. You look up, and to your amazement, you see overhead flying the demoiselle cranes, which fly probably higher than any of the other bird species in the world. And you're amazed at their stamina, in their beauty, in their strength. Others of you will choose to see the glory of the sun coming up at these heights. You will notice that there are shards of very intense light as the sun rays hit the water in the snow and create reflection. All that you are seeing is a movie made for you. For what you see and experience is meant to give you a sense of the joy of water experienced at these great heights. You already know that water is life, but now you have an opportunity to realize that water is also an inner experience that flows through you as you, expressing your own version of life in the body that you inhabit. Wherever you are and whatever the conditions you are now going through, this is water's gift to you that you might know yourself better. She is giving you your own movie in perhaps a different way than you ordinarily think of her, but so that you may know the range of what water offers. For the next brief period of time, of minutes, I want you to allow this movie to show you a few more things, and things very specific to you and very personal to you. And after that period of time, I will come and get you down off the mountain. So go enjoy your movie. So as your movie is fading out, you are once again aware of the subtle inner currents of your being and of how effortless it is to be in the inner realms. Your breath continues to be easy. A much deeper breath may automatically occur as you allow yourself to shift gears from the inner realms to the outer realms of the five physical senses. Your hands and feet move and stretch, and slowly, when you are ready and not before, you will allow your eyes to open. Allow a moment or two of assimilation and register what you are aware of. know that the consciousness of water as it exists in snow and ice has benefited from this journey you just took. And you have benefited from this form of water. Always regarding the consciousness of water and the consciousness of humans, there is great reciprocity. Thank you for participating, and blessed be.
Oof. Thank you, Muriel. I think it's going to take a while for people to come back into their bodies. So everybody wiggle your toes and your fingers and your neck. You know, bring everything back into your physical body. Wow. I love the Himalayas. So that was really a wonderful experience for me. It really was.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And I connected with the consciousness of water where it was talking to me about its healing power. And how water is the ultimate healer of the planet, and that they carry that healing energy to everything they touch, from starting way up there on the top of the mountains, all the way down through, all the way down to the sea and into the sea.
So. You know, I just had an association that I didn't make before. Thinking of the situation in the Himalayas that the book Into Thin Air was based on, where so many people were caught in avalanches and lost and left for dead, and the ones that survived against all odds, like the doctor, I believe his last name was Beck, I mean, there's no way he should have survived.
Right.
But the association I just had was, even though his body was pretty much frozen solid and in that condition all night, he lived, and his inside, his intention was so strong to live. He absolutely had the will to power through this situation, even though he was that far gone. Mm-hmm. And I'm aware, like, the water picked up the strength of his intention and helped save his life.
Yeah, I believe that.
I don't know exactly how that works, but I know water just absolutely picks up what's around it.
And the water in his body connected with the water in the snow.
Absolutely, and it didn't matter that it was frozen.
Right. No, it doesn't. It's still conscious no matter what state it's in. Well, is there somebody who would like to share something or ask Muriel or something, whatever, anybody who has something you'd like to share or speak about Star 6?
Hi, this is Ariadne, and I've never been much into flying, like having dreams about flying, or just never been much into it. However, when she said my own movie, the first thing I did was take off and fly. I was wearing all these, animal skin clothes and boots and everything, and just flying over the gray stones and then came over the summit and kind of whirled around in a circle. That was intriguing.
Very interesting. You became one of the demoiselle cranes.
I thought about them while I was up there. I didn't fly like a crane, though. No wings.
That's beautiful.
This is Reet. I had, when you said do your own little journey, I found myself kind of going into a gorgeous ice cave with the sun shining in and all the sparkling crystal points of the snow. And I said, gosh, this feels familiar. This is like my heart, my inner heart, my sacred heart within my heart kind of space that we go to sometimes. And I was like, oh, wow. I didn't imagine it would be up in the mountains, but cool.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. Wow.
Hey, Muriel and Mary, it's Ann calling.
Ann.
Hey.
Yay.
Hi to you guys, too. Hi to everybody. So that was beautiful, Muriel. Thank you so much. And all the water is connected, wherever it is, in the mountains, in the streams, in the rivers, in the rain, in the ocean. And what happened for me, which is not surprising, is that I felt this giant wave of water, like the ocean, and then created this vortex down through the base of the mountains in deep, deep, deep into the ocean, and I was surrounded by these sperm whales who told me it's past time for me to step up to the next level. And then I just got so hot, just physically hot from just being immersed and surrounded by sperm whales through the mountain vortex.
Whoa. Wow.
Yeah.
Nothing light there.
No, not at all.
Well, you know, the way the Himalayas was formed was from the plates, you know, the crashing of India into Asia. And it's all about the deep ocean, how those plates came together and the way they function. So it's like you just went down into the depths of how that mountain range got formed in the first place.
Right. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Thank you.
Anybody else have something you'd like to share? Or?
This is Lenny.
Hi, this is Linda from Maryland. I actually was born in India, in Darjeeling, which is in the Himalayas, the foothills of the Himalayas. It's 7,000 feet high, and from Darjeeling, you actually get to see the range called Kanchenjunga, which Everest is a part of. You see it walking around the town every day. And so thank you so much because your meditation took me home.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. Oh, that makes me really, really happy.
Yeah, how beautiful to see that. Wow. Well, Lenny,
you were going
to say something.
This is Ruth. Can I just jump in real quick? I just was up in the San Juan Island with Lori Rayon, and on our last day up there, we did CJ Pod, and they were celebrating and zooming around and so joyous and surrounded our boat. We couldn't move. We were so happy and so excited and blessed them so much that so even in their dire straits, they were still just going off. It was beautiful.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was up on a ridge, and the music of my footprints were like little silver mallets playing the water essence of the snow very percussively. And The sound of the snow was such a huge part of my experience, from my connection with my foot soles and the soul of the snow. And suddenly a butterfly and a hummingbird and a dragonfly appeared, and they flew in parallel with me on a very high elevation and blended in with the sunrise of the cloud color and the alpenglow. And they said that life force is at any level, high or low, and to send that life force to all creatures and beings that really need that right now. And it's effortless and something that flows like water.
Wow. Wow. You know, it's amazing how flying keeps coming in. There's a lot of energy around flying, and I have a portrait of dolphins swimming underwater, and it says flying is fun, and they're swimming, but it feels when you're in the water, whether you're a dolphin or a human, to me, it is like flying. So there's, you know, water's really connected with flight.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is Bonnie. This is Bonnie Blue. And I was walking on the beach right before we did this meditation, and a little bird, a little dead bird, unfortunately, washed up. And I very lovingly took this bird and I brought it to this altar that we have, a spiritual garden, and laid her to rest and put flowers around this bird and said some prayers. And it was very interesting that the sticks were making crosses around her, and I said a blessing. And I just was seeing this connection all of a sudden with the birds, and that the mother, wise Mother Ocean, showed us the sadness of this bird and how we now did this beautiful global water meditation, which was amazing through the not only the water of the snow crystals, but this water is the water within us and the water of the universe and the water of Gaia, and just bringing life and flight back to Earth and to the universe and to humanity. And through this little bird, she was just saying, you know, fly, you know, yes, we need your healing. And I just felt, and I was wondering, what is the meaning of this bird? And now I see it through this meditation and what other people are saying. And I, too, always see dolphins as the birds of the sea. So I just wanted to add that to this meditation.
Oh, thank you, Bonnie.
So
hello.
What? What
did you say? It's good to hear your voice.
Thank you, Mariel. You as well. I hope I see you in person soon.
I do, too.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you from that little bird and from the heart of the
ocean.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, just to see the fallen ones, you know, it just always creates such an inner pang to see the little bodies.
But I kept seeing, I also saw the water of that movie, The Abyss, the consciousness of
Oh, yeah,
of the
yeah.
Like Mary was saying, and I just saw that water just moving through all of us and all of time across all dimensions, just healing, just helping and healing, and I just felt such joy from that. So thank you. There's joy in the ocean and in the water there's this hope. The water is crying out to us through this little bird, but now with all of us and all of our love intentions going into the water, she can spread that love and that new rebirth across all of our world and in all of us and all dimensions of all time. So it's really, really beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. We're hearing the voice of that little bird.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I would also like to make a request here before we do sign off today. Southwest Florida, the Gulf Coast here in Southwest Florida is having a really extremely bad red tide event, which is these organisms in the sea that actually put out a toxin. And there are, you know, millions of dead fish and manatees. I think they've already gotten 90 turtles. The other day, a whale shark washed up. I mean, it's just a horrible situation right now. And this is also the time of year where all the little sea turtles are being born and heading out, and they're not going to be able to handle that toxin. So anybody who has any moment in a day to sit down and send some healing energy to the west coast of Florida and out into the Gulf to try and move that off to another area where there is not so much wildlife. They literally picked up 16 tons of fish off Siesta Key Beach yesterday. So that's just one beach.
The red tide a regular thing, or do they associate it with any stimulant in particular?
It is a natural, it's a natural phenomenon, and the water is, you know, getting warmer, and that supports their growth. And apparently, you know, if we have a lot of rain, there's a lot of runoff, agricultural runoff, and fertilizer and stuff like that really feeds it. So they think it's just, this is the worst we've had it in like 20 years. So they think it's just been kind of a perfect storm of things that is creating this. But, and it kind of moves around. So, you know, if it would blow out to, you know, I'd like to see it blow right over that dead zone in the Gulf where there's nothing anyway. You know, we could send it over to just south of New Orleans where it can just hang out. There's nothing there to kill. So it would be a lot better than what's happening along the coast here. It's really pretty serious right now for the wildlife.
So many signals from nature. She's really broadcasting right now.
Yeah. Yes. She is. Well, anybody have any...
just any? Another little from nature. All the fires going on in the west.
Oh my goodness.
This
Mary?
Water on the fires.
We need water on the fires. Yes, mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Let's hold that vision, too. Let's call the water in to the whole west coast in just the perfect amount to put out the fires, but not to create mudslides and things like that.
Mary, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, good. And Muriel, hi. This is Shelley, and I just wanted to share a couple of things. One, which was really amazing, was, Muriel, when you started, I mean, there hadn't been any rain. When you started the meditation, it started raining, and the moment you finished, it stopped. It hasn't started again. So that was very fascinating. And I love, too, getting up into the Himalayas, because for me, it was the relationship between the sun and the crystalline nature of water, you know, and that relationship was, it wasn't so much that I got things speaking to me, but it was this very wide awareness of light and water.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I can't stop being aware of is that we, you know, obviously we've come through these super moons and eclipses, and now we're in the 8-8 Lionsgate, which has everything to do with Sirius, and that's the dolphins, right? And so I just feel like this is, you just opened the, you know, when you were talking about the mountains and seeing the vastness of an expansion of the stone beings, you know, I just feel like all of this is speaking to us now, and it's just time to really listen. And I'm looking at these two crystals sitting in this bowl of water, and it reminds me so much of what I saw being at the top of the mountains. And, you know, that relationship for us to come up into that purity of breath and purity of water, so that we can receive the information that's needed right now. So I just wanted to really thank you. And also, Mary, I got really clear where, you know, as a part of Loving Waters, and I'm not going to go into that, but we're moving towards the new moon on the 11th, and I felt really strongly to share the story of the orcas and Granny, and to take that group that's on that call that night where people are becoming aware of water and their watersheds and their sacred relationship,
yeah,
to bring that in, because I feel like I really felt very touched by what you shared in the beginning. So thank you so much. It's been so great to be back on this call. I love it.
Yeah, and please tell people how to participate on the 11th.
Okay, so we initiated a few years ago. It's called Loving Waters. And if you just go to lovingwaters.life or go to Facebook, simply Loving Waters, you will be connected to really just a growing community of water stewards that are becoming aware of each other. That's huge, because people have been doing water blessings by themselves for years, and to feel like there's a community of people. And so we come together every new moon on Zoom, and you can just, if you go onto Loving Waters and let us know, or go to lovingwaters.life, just sign in and you'll get that information of how to connect on the Zoom and meet each other from around the world. And Zoom is beautiful because we can see each other as well. So, yeah, and share. It's really about water wisdom sharing.
Yeah.
So thank you, Mary, for that opportunity.
What
sure,
time is that?
You.
What time and what time zone?
Okay, let's see. I believe it's at 6 o'clock Eastern, so 3 o'clock
Pacific,
yeah.
Yeah. Great.
But it is always
and
a
just
report,
by the
so.
By, that new moon is a solar eclipse as well. And it's not, it's a north node solar eclipse, and it's in Leo, and
oh my gosh,
both Leo is a signature of creation. It's the most, of all the signs, it's the one that most represents creation. And the north node is about bringing in the new. And so this is a very potent eclipse for creating something through the power of your intention and your vision and so forth. On that new moon, just saying.
Great.
Well, thank you. Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
Hi. Am I being heard?
Yes. Go
yes?
ahead.
Yes. I'm just going to keep it really simple and not go into anything other than the fact that this illuminated bearded man came walking up towards me with a cane. And he said, your light has purpose. And it made me really realize how powerful our light is.
Wow.
And we can do something.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to share that.
Whoa.
Thank you, Jamie. Yeah. Take that, man.
Yes. I love these sort of casual offhand comments about such powerful things.
Mary, this is Anne again. Can I mention the Orca Healing Circle?
Sure, absolutely.
Cool. So I run a group very similar to Mary's Global Water Healing Meditation, and it's called the Orca Healing Circle. And we don't have a specific date, but next week we're going to hold another one, meditation. And if you want to be let known, just orcahealingcircle.com, and you can sign up, and we'll send you the date and the time of the next one, which Jillian Rutledge and I are going to be leading specifically for the situation that's happening now with J35 and with Little Scarlet J50 and
Fantastic.
The situation.
That's great, Anne. Yeah.
Thank you.
Count me in.
Got it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to unmute everyone so we can have our chaotic goodbye. And hold on. Hey, goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Happy Monday.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye. Lots of love and light and joy.